Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not yet my time. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My time has not yet come." Now, why is this the case? Well, first of all, I find some interesting things here. And this is coming from Origen in the 4th century. First of all, why is Mary in charge of the wedding? Think about that for a second. We know Jesus had brothers and sisters. Why are all the disciples there? Why is Jesus there? It's probably one of his brothers and sisters who got married. Okay? So the thing is, they run out of wine. It's a little hard when you got a party and that happens. So, Mary is the one who's trying to fix it. Well, now talk about mom here. Does she listen to Jesus when he says no, or does she just go along with him when he says, "It's not yet my time"? No. She says to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you." Okay, even Jesus follows when mom says, "Do it." Did that ever happen to you when you were younger? That's right. What mom says, you do. Even when you're 30 years old and it's the start of your ministry, you still do what mom tells you to do. Have you ever done that before with your kids? Did you ever have it done to you? Even when you're 50 or 60? Yep. Well, I find this very interesting. First of all, the clay jars that were used for the washing, ritual washing, before entering the temple. Now, last week we had the baptism of Jesus, right? All right, so what we do is we have these same clay jars. We're still dealing with baptism. But what does Jesus do once the water is put in those clay jars? Turns it into wine. What does wine significantly have to do with the story of Jesus? The blood of Jesus, okay? This is a way of telling the story, first of all, of the two main sacraments, baptism and communion, okay? I find that very interesting. You remember the sign, I've used this before, you're putting old wine in new bottles. In fact, there's songs, there's a sea chanting based on that. So when we had that wine put in there, what does the wine steward do? He goes to the bridegroom and says, "Hey, wait a second, why are you serving this now? Normally you serve this at the beginning, you know, because you want people to drink a little bit too much with the good stuff, and then you feed them the bad stuff, and they can't tell the difference." So instead, they give them the bad stuff, and then they got the good stuff coming. Why did you do it that way? Well, it's because Jesus said, "Let it be wine." But I got a few things that I was thinking about this. First of all, the baptism communion I talked about. The old wine without Jesus is not good, but the new wine with Jesus is good. Okay? With Jesus, the best wine is yet to be had. Do you see that meaning in the story? I do. So, the first miracle has to do with wine, not just wine. You know, we could have any kind of miracle about wine, but it's the wine that Jesus had to make. It's the wine coming from Jesus. Now, in this story, this is the only gospel that has this story. We call these the synoptic gospels. And the thing is, I've actually got a Bible that goes through all the stories of the four gospels. Where do they line up? What's the difference between them? This is only in the Gospel of John. It's not in the other three. Okay? And remember, I've talked in here before about the Gospel of John, and it's more of a mystical gospel. If I had somebody that wants to read the Bible for the first time, I don't have them start with Genesis. I don't want to scare them, okay? But I have them start with John. Why? Because if you want to know how to be a Christian, read John. If you know what the meanings are of Jesus' miracles, read John. Make sense? All right. Why is it not yet Jesus' time? I mean, he's very clear about that.
He hasn't died yet.
Well, has he started his road to the cross?
No.
Not yet?
No.
Okay. And actually, this happens before his baptism. Okay? This is first. This is the start of his road to the cross. And it has to do with him sharing wine, okay? The good wine that came from Jesus. And I think that's part of the most important part of this story. Yeah. Well, sure she does. And she... Yeah. And we know there's apocryphal books from the Bible that talk about the childhood of Jesus that were thrown out. Of course, some of them appear in the Quran, you know, even though they were thrown out of the Bible. So we know there's a little bit about Jesus' life, you know, and especially, remember when he's at the temple and his mom said, why are you here? He says, I'm in my father's house doing what he wants me to do. Yeah, and so she knows. You know, she knows that he's the Son of God and has his power. Would you make us some wine, please? And thank you, because that's the next thing I was going to talk about. But I'm glad somebody's listening. So is there more to this story than just running out of the wine? Yeah, I think you're starting to get this. At this time, the disciples have been selected. And the disciples are at this wedding. Okay, so they're guests. Could Jesus, the Son of Man, had said no to his mother? Yeah, Richard said that's not a good plan. If he really didn't want to do this yet, he could have said, no, I'm not going to do it. But instead, he does it, doesn't he? So the miracle that Jesus does is important because this is the first public statement that he makes as the Son of Man. And remember that Jesus calls himself the Son of Man until when? The resurrection. And after the resurrection, he calls himself the Son of God. Okay? And there's only one other time that he refers to himself as the Son of God before the crucifixion. Anybody remember that?
At the well.
At the well. Who said at the well?
I did.
Good girl. You're paying attention. To the woman who's been married 5 times and just gives him a drink of water,
yeah.
Probably the lowest of the low, he tells her he's the Son of God. Well, I don't remember if she is at that point, but I find it very interesting that he reveals his divinity to the lowest on the potent pole. Not to kings, but to the lowest. When we get frustrated and ask for help, does it always come?
No.
Faye, are you sure you want to say that quickly? No, it doesn't. And many times the help comes in a way we didn't expect or didn't necessarily want, right? Well, I found out that this is important, that these things happen in Jesus' time, not our time. We pray, Lord, would you please help me? All right, it's been 2 weeks. When are you going to help me? Okay. It's been 2 years. When are you going to help me? He'll help you when the time is right. You know, I've told you about the Holy Spirit's influence in my life. You know, first of all, leading me to Alabama. Secondly, leading me to Texas. Thirdly, leading me here. And I thought, why did I have to go to Alabama and Texas? And I've got that pastor friend who's in Fort Lauderdale right now, who's my campus pastor, told me this. Holy Spirit wanted you to learn something. And he wanted you to learn it in these two other calls. You had to go through that to be the person you are now. And I thought, okay, I can do that. It's in God's time, not in our time. See what I'm getting at? So, you know, God has a plan for us. And the thing is that many times, what do we do? Well, we just got to wait until he's ready to show it to us. But when Jesus intercedes for us, whether it's making wine or helping us with what we need or using his healing grace to help it, and we know that because of this story, he will be there for us. And I think that's what this story is trying to tell us. You know, here we're at the wedding. Mary is frustrated because they ran out of wine. She goes up to Jesus and said, "Would you make wine?" "It's not my time yet, Mom." You know, can she hear Jesus sound like he's whining? But he does it. And she assumes that he'll do it because he's a good kid. Isn't that what we can assume from Jesus too, that he will do for us when it's needed?
Always.
Always. And I think so too. Lord, let us pray. Help us to understand your wants and needs for us, and that we may be comforted in knowing that you will always be here for us. Amen. May this comfort keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.